Hello, product innovators. Today we learn how to go from final prototype to your first manufacturing run from the founder of what was a hardware startup but now has 1,100 staff.
This is the Product Startup Podcast, a show to learn from top leaders in hardware product development, prototyping, manufacturing, product selling, and everything in between. Hosted by Kevin Macko, the leading expert on product development for hardware startups.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm very excited to introduce Keenan Weiberbeck. Keenan has been in the manufacturing industry for over 20 years, and 10 years ago was the founder of Zipline, an autonomous drone delivery company that now has 1,100 employees and has raised hundreds of millions of dollars in funding for his hardware product vision. Today, Keenan will share valuable knowledge from inventors, startups, and small manufacturers on what the design for manufacturing phase is, how to prepare your product development and prototyping for DFM, and how to ensure you transition from final prototype to first manufacturing run the right way for success. Now, onto the episode.
This show is produced by Macko Design, the original firm providing end-to-end consumer product development services tailored specifically to hardware startups, small manufacturers, and inventors. Take your product from idea to store shelves at MackoDesign.com. Now, on to the episode.
Hey, Keenan, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here.
Well, we're excited today to talk to you about that step between your finished kind of the design and engineering and prototyping phases, but now you're moving on to your first production run. There's lots of little things to consider, and it's an often overlooked little piece of the puzzle on your route to manufacturing and the glory of selling your first products to the market. Before we jump into all that, I want to talk a bit about your history. Obviously, with Zipline now, you guys are a well-known drone delivery brand. You have got these autonomous drones flying all over the world now. I think you're crossing the 1 million deliveries mark. It's incredible what you've done and the amount of design, engineering, prototyping, and manufacturing efforts that go into that. So before we get into all the details and best practices to new hardware startups about how they transition from prototyping into manufacturing, just give us a bit of backstory of how you became the success story that you are today.
Yeah. So, I mean, I started, 40 years ago, taking everything apart I could possibly get my hands on. I think like probably many of you all listening to this, I think a lot of us in hardware got started that way. My career, the first sort of decade of my career was going back and forth between product design and robotics. And I think that led to Zipline, which we started 10 years ago now, which of course is bringing those two things together. My favorite definition of robotic technology is technology you don't notice because just in the background, behind this magical delivery experience that enables health systems around the world, enables goods delivery around the world, as well as food delivery.
Amazing. And that's a great story. And I think everybody listening also can appreciate the fact that we all want our packages delivered faster. So we love what you're working on, but it's also very complex technology. And it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of vision. And obviously, as a leader, you've got to see this unfold from the ideation all the way through to now your millionth delivery. So let's talk a bit about that transition point from prototyping going into manufacturing. That's a critical point. And the more complicated your product, arguably the more complex that phase is going to be. So let's just talk broad strokes. First and foremost, what's the difference between ideation and prototyping versus design for manufacturing engineering to actually get to production?
Yeah. So I always think about this working backwards. So that last step, design for production, that's where you're crafting each part to be manufacturable, right? You're really refining the details so that you're going to hit your, for us, it's, our reliability matters a ton. There's not much margin in the system. So every piece, every part is optimized to the nth degree. So the step that comes before that we think of is basically, we call it the architecture freeze. As in the design, it's done, right? I explain it a bunch of different ways. Like if you're standing 10 feet back, you don't notice the difference anymore, right? In between that product, when you finished that architecture iteration phase to then go into that detail design phase. And the magic of this is really about like, don't start detail design because you can't iterate more in detail design around the architecture. And if you try, you're going to throw away a ton of money. This is where the successful companies have really gotten this right. And we really try to learn from that. In that architecture phase, you should be doing gazillions of prototypes, right? Like if people are like, I did 3 prototype cycles. It's like, no. You just started, right? It's so cheap to prototype these days. You should be iterating a ton on everything that matters. It could be like mechanisms. It could be the physical integration. It could be, every single user touch point needs to be iterated on like crazy to the point when you're done, you're just like, this is it. This product, if I could just make a bunch of these, I'd be happy, right? Because that's what you're about to do in detail design or design for production that comes next.
That's such useful advice, especially about the prototyping phase, is that you want to make sure that that phase is done well. And the product is really what you envision for how you see it going to market, and that product market fit is there. So of course, now I love how you've made the delineation going forward into the actual DFM. You are not making design changes at this point. You're not making product improvements at this point. You're not changing product market fit at this point. At this point, your job is to design a product to be reproduced in volume. And that means design for manufacturing, not changing the ideation in almost any way. And that's a really important thing, I think, for a lot of hardware startups to double down on in their mind, is the fact that too many people try and push forward changes or iterations or ideas into manufacturing itself. And of course, the further you push it forward, the exponentially more expensive those changes and those iterations become. So you want it, like you said, get it all sorted out in the prototyping phase so that you're absolutely ready with a final product to then go into that manufacturing phase. So describe that design for manufacturing phase, you know, what it is and what's important in that phase.
Yeah. So the most important piece of this is you're going really deep with your vendor partners who are going to make your parts, or your contract manufacturer maybe assembling the whole thing for you. And the advice I got that I just live by now, I got this advice early in my career and I just live by it at this point, which is if you don't know your vendor's kids' names, you don't know your vendors well enough, you don't have a deep enough relationship with your vendors to succeed in this phase. Because this phase is challenging, right? When you're a startup, you have no credibility, right? Like, vendors are taking a flyer on you. And there's going to be challenges in this phase. Some that you're going to provide. Inevitably, there's going to be something that you got wrong. You got to tweak a tool or whatever it is. And you may need to ask your vendor to do that in a big hurry without even necessarily paying for it, right? You're going to ask favors of your vendor in many different ways. Their vendor will have other surprises, right? They may get a contract with some other customer that's just big and lucrative, and you need your vendor not to deprioritize you. To be clear, that's happened to me many times. And you know, if you don't have that deep relationship with them, you're just not going to get through those challenges together. And knowing the names of the kids of your vendors is one metric. I think another way to just actualize this is just like, if you're not living with your vendors, you're probably doing it wrong. You know, I encourage folks to do their detail design at the vendor, like literally, like sit there, be like, hey, can I borrow a desk and start working? If you're designing something for injection molding, right? Just do your mold flow in the room with them. You're going to learn so much about how they think, what their values are, what their cost structures are, how their business really works. And you're going to build that relationship you need with them to get through the bumps that are coming.
That's really powerful advice. One of the things about design for perspective we have always recommend to our clients as you're transitioning into that production standpoint is go visit the factory. And you're taking it one step further. Say, not only visit the factory, but bring along your design engineers, your lead design engineers, whoever, whether it was yourselves, whether it's somebody you contracted out, or whether it was a staff member on your team, have them work side by side on those detailed manufacturing designs. That can get a bit expensive as a hardware startup, but of course, the more complex your product is, probably the more important it is for you to have at least elements of that, of this co-design process built in with your manufacturing engineers. You know, if you look at it the other way as well, one of the big mistakes we see is that somebody takes, say, a final design, hands it to the factory engineers, and then hope it all goes well. But one of the other key things is don't leave your original designers in the dark on what your manufacturing designers, and vice versa. Don't have your manufacturing designers in the dark on what your original prototype designers or concept designers were envisioning. Those two people need to work closely together. So if you're going into manufacturing, make sure the same designers and engineers that you are utilizing through, especially that late stage engineering and prototyping, is working very closely with those production engineers, because inevitably there is going to be miscommunication if you put up essentially a stone wall between those two groups.
Exactly. And you know, the vendors that I've had great success with, their engineers love it when you show up and work with them, because so often they do get this stuff thrown over the wall that they then have to like try to deliver on without the context, you know, of that collaboration. And so they often struggle to be successful in that context. But if you literally work together on it, like they feel valued and they're going to have really valuable input that will reduce costs, improve reliability, and make your product better. Because you know, they know things about how to make those parts that you can really benefit from as a design engineer.
Absolutely. And there's so many tools now that allow that collaboration to take place. If you don't have the luxury of being able to actually fly over and sit side by side, well, do the next best thing. Screen share. You can collaborate on CAD design files. You can collaborate part by part through a variety of different methods and techniques and pieces of software. If you're well planned as well, and you give them, we call it a design manufacturing pack. So you've got all of the things from your final prototype put in specification. And this isn't just the CAD file. It's the CAD file, 2D line drawings, just in case they need it. You've also got all of the 3D renderings with callouts for how the thing works. I know they're producing parts, but why not have your production engineers understand deeply how the actual product works, why those parts go together the way they do, and what the end purpose of the actual product is? the more they understand it, the easier it will be for them to make small little micro decisions that you may not be thinking about, or even your design team might not be thinking about, that they need to in order to do the best manufacturing for your product. And in addition to that, then I actually want to send them that final prototype and have that to be physically in their hands so that we can review it together collaboratively with the thing on their desk as they're doing those adjustments to the actual CAD file. So if you give them this whole pack of all the necessary information that they may or may not need, but have it all in there being accessible, then that increases the ability for you to communicate even remotely on those small bits and pieces as you continue the development from there.
Exactly. And maybe even to go back to something we touched on a little earlier in the conversation around, you know, basically the importance of not changing your design, you know, when you start this phase of detailed design or design for manufacturing. And if you start from the very beginning of that, at the very beginning of your architectural phase, now you have a good chance of getting that confidence that's required at the end of that prototyping phase to start detailed design between prototype and design for manufacturing.
Yeah, I think the big key is know that the more you push forward design changes, the more expensive it gets. And that becomes even more expensive as, let's say, you're in production, your customers get the product, and there's some sort of issue that you could have addressed much earlier on in the process. So I want to talk to you as well about any other kind of tips that you see in working with manufacturing or manufacturing engineers that have helped you, maybe not even just with your first production run, but as you've scaled with these producers as well.
Oh, great question. Zipline, we have a challenge I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, which is the complexity we have plus the ridiculously tight margins we have, right? So in a lot of safety critical systems, you talk about safety margins in like X factors of 5 or 10, but with aircraft, usually your X factors, your margins on your like loads and your designs are more like 1.5, which means you have to be really right, right? You have to do a lot of testing. And inevitably what that means is in that detail design phase, you're dialing in things about those parts way longer than your vendors would like you to be to actually achieve those margins, right? It's one thing to think you have them, and then you build the parts, you test the parts, and then you realize you don't have them and you got to go iterate. And this again comes back to that deep relationship with the vendor. You know, the vendors would call it like late stage resets that are killing, you know, driving them crazy. But if you have those relationships, you actually have a prayer of getting through that process successfully. And that's incredibly important. At the end of the day, even if you don't have the ridiculous sort of safety challenge that we have at Zipline, you're going to have reliability goals, right? And your product being reliable is going to be important to either the economics of your product or just your customers loving and raving about your product. And reliability is, you know, never as easy as you think, right? Especially if you're doing something new, your customers will find ways to break your product that you didn't imagine. and you're going to want to dial that stuff in. And again, that comes back to those deep relationships being in place that'll then enable you to work through those issues, even sometimes after you're in production.
That's great. Having those relationships is key. And then that allows you to iterate because in between production runs, you have that time where ideally you're not making a major change, but maybe it's a smaller, minor change, either identified by any number one of the stakeholders, including possibly the great relationship that you have with your vendor. Maybe it's them that realize between production runs, we can tweak this or change that or swap out this material and we think this will perform better. But of course, you've got that opportunity to listen to your customers. Your customers are now using the product. They're, like you said, identifying things that you may never have been able to find out. Now you know, so you work with the relationship that you have with your producer to seal up those things and go into your next production run. So you increase the reliability of the product and a whole number of other factors as well. Hina, before I let you go, just talk a bit more about Zipline and where people can go to find out more about this amazing new technology that may be getting them packages faster than ever before.
Sure. So I'll give you the 1 minute version of sort of where we've been these last 10 years. So for 8 years now, we've been operating a platform we call Platform One. Picture a large RC aircraft. And this is great for delivering from a metro area out to surrounding countryside. And it does so by flying like, you know, looks like a little RC plane, flies out, floats a package to the ground. And we've done, you know, we just crossed 1 million deliveries doing this. Today, we fly the equivalent of 4 times the equator of the Earth every single day with this platform making deliveries around the world. And later this year, we're launching a new platform we're incredibly excited about. That platform, as you can imagine, to deliver, it takes some room, you know, a couple parking spots worth of room to float a package to the ground. Picture, you know, a cake box with a paper parachute on it. Our new platform enables incredibly precise delivery with this thing we call a droid. And I'll just leave that as a little bit of a teaser. You can find out more at our website at flyzipline.com. about how this new platform delivers incredibly precisely in a way that's really optimizes for safety and is so quiet you won't even notice it. Anyway, I'm incredibly excited about this being the way we get our packages in this incredibly magical way going forward.
Keenan, that's great. And I'll put the links below. So if anyone wants to click through, they can check out the website and see what you guys are doing. Thanks again for all your words of wisdom on going from that final prototyping into your actual manufacturing phases for a first-time hardware startup. Keenan, thanks again, and we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, great speaking with you, Kevin.
Thanks. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Product Startup Podcast. If you found some value in the show, please do us a huge favor and hit the like button and subscribe. If you have any questions, guest suggestions, or anything else, feel free to reach out to us anytime at our email, podcast@macodesign.com. This show is hosted by Kevin Macko, North America's leading expert on product development for hardware startups. And the podcast is produced by Macko Design, the original firm providing end-to-end consumer product development services tailored specifically to hardware startups, small manufacturers, and inventors. Take your product from idea to store shelves at MackoDesign.com. That's MAKO Design.com. Thanks for joining, and see you again soon.